Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, if I were to ask which one of the psalms are the most beloved of the 150 psalms, possibly a high percentage would come back as Psalm 23, one of the best known chapters in the entire Bible. A chapter that was probably the first chapter you have ever memorized, and maybe the last chapter you have uttered in your life. A chapter that, as Charles Spurgeon said, is the pearl of psalms. And another goes on to say there's no psalm in which the absence of all doubt, of misgiving, of fear and anxiety is so remarkable. Joel Beakey wrote in his lengthy book on Jehovah shepherding his sheep on Psalm 23, these six verses comprehend the highest, deepest, widest, and most glorious experiences into which it is possible for God to lead his people on this side of heaven. This psalm is many times referred to as the Pilgrim Psalm, and for good reason. We find Psalm 23 in the context of Psalm 22, 23, and 24. In Psalm 22, we recognize another well-known psalm about the suffering of David, but also foretold of the Lord Jesus Christ when he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? Understanding the depths and the reality of the suffering of the Good Shepherd, that suffering of the one who is far from his home, far from life in communion with his Father, one who is suffering on behalf of his people, one who is a worm and no man, a reproach of men, despised by the people, one who is mocked and ridiculed, and yet the one who is poured out like water and yet successful in all that he has done. Even though his strength is dried up like a potsherd, and even though the dogs have surrounded him, and they pierced his hands and his feet, and they counted all his bones, and they stare at him, and they divide his garments, but you, O Lord, you are not far from me. O my strength, help me and deliver me. And you have answered me. And therefore, because you have answered me, I will declare my name among the brethren. I will declare victory. I will declare life. Life for pilgrims going through the veil of the shadow of death. That's where you find the crux of Psalm 22, 23, and 24 is really in verse 4 of 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because it is he who went before me. My God, why have you forsaken me? Because he was forsaken, I will never be forsaken. And because he lives and reigns forever, Psalm 24, for he has ascended on high, he has led captivity captive, he is sitting at the right hand of God. The gates have been lifted up, and he has entered in, and he reigns forever at his right hand. And because of this glorious truth, I can know that my pilgrimage will come to an end here, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, dear congregation, Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and 24 are strategically placed by the Holy Spirit here in the Scriptures to draw our attention to Psalm 23, a pilgrimage song for you and I in this life, for his people, the sheep of his pasture. Psalm 23 here is spoken of, and I quote again Joel Beakey, as a spiritual oasis. In the hands of the Holy Spirit, it has been a balm to some who are spiritually sick with love, a consolation to others sitting spiritually captive in the dungeon of misery, a tonic for soldiers dying in the battlefield of free grace. It has broken the chains of spiritual prisoners, and pilgrims through the ages have been privileged to dip honey from this psalm with the staff of faith to the reawakening of love, re-enlivening of hope, and the re-strengthening of faith. You see, Psalm 23 is just what a pilgrim needs on this side of eternity. And may that also be true as we meditate on this psalm for us in all of our variety of experiences in this life, even at this very moment. It is applicable to each. I want to look with you today, in way of introduction, at Psalm 23, these first few words as a confession. The Lord is my shepherd. And to simply look at it, He is our shepherd and we are His sheep. He is my shepherd and we are His sheep. As we immediately notice in the psalm, if there is to be a shepherd, there must be sheep. And so it's just very logical to divide this short confession up between the two. First of all, then, He is our shepherd. And David here is confessing that the Lord is his shepherd. We all know the life of David. This is a psalm of David. The heading tells us that. And this is a psalm written by a shepherd. And yet he's saying, the Lord is my shepherd. But yet David, he recognized to a great deal what it meant to be a shepherd. Even shepherding his father's sheep. And becoming the shepherd of Israel. We find David anointed as king in 2 Samuel 5 verse 2. Where they profess to him at Hebron, they say, you shall shepherd my people Israel and be a ruler over Israel, says the Lord. This is the reason why the tribes wanted to anoint David to be not only their king, but to be a king shepherd, a shepherd among them. Psalm 78 describes it beautifully, where he says, he also chose David his servant and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes that had young, he brought him to shepherd Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. And he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them with the skillfulness of his hands. So David is a shepherd. And yet he confesses, he doesn't say, I am the shepherd of Israel. I am that good shepherd of Israel. No, he doesn't confess that. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. He acknowledges his own need for the shepherd. And there we find that the Lord is his shepherd. And we confess also, and we must confess, the Lord is my shepherd. And this isn't foreign to Scripture. This isn't just David alone confessing this. This has been confessed already in Genesis 48, where Jacob, as he blessed Joseph, he said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me or shepherded me, led me and nourished me all the days of my life to this day. Here Jacob is confessing that the Lord had been his shepherd. And David also says in Psalm 28, save your people and bless your inheritance. Shepherd them and bless them. And bear them up forever. Asaph in Psalm 80, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, who leads Joseph like a flock. Or the prophets. I think I counted approximately 10 times in the prophets where the prophets were talking about the Lord being Israel's shepherd. Isaiah, I'll just quote one in Isaiah 40, a beautiful, beautiful passage of the shepherding grace of our Lord. As he comforts and tenderly cares for his people, he says, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. That's our shepherd's hand, according to the prophet Isaiah. The Lord, David says and confesses, the Lord is my shepherd. And we know that doesn't come because he has some insight into himself. No, this comes because of grace. We know that the Lord here is his salvation, his comfort, his love, his nourishment, his strength, his blessing, his all. But that didn't come naturally. Because David, just like any other person who was born outside of grace, when born, recognized that we're without God in the world, strangers to God even. And no longer, after the fall, can we say that the Lord is our shepherd. But David, by grace, begins here, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord is my shepherd. And this word Lord here is printed all in capital letters, signifying that that is the word Yahweh in the Hebrew. And that is describing God as in a very personal way of his covenant-keeping character. This is the name of God, which was the one that the Jews held in awe and lofty. It was a lofty name of God. This is the one who is the self-existent one, the one who was and who is and who is to come, the one who is unchangeable, the one who is covenant-keeping, the one David could say, even as was said at the burning bush, "He is the I am that I am. He dwells with us and he's perfectly faithful to us. He is my shepherd." But it goes farther than that, doesn't it? Because we also know that the Lord Jesus Christ bears the name of Jehovah. Jehovah Salvation. That's the name of Jesus. The very personal name of Jesus. And there we find Jesus is the fulfillment of this shepherd. He is the Lord, the shepherd. And we find that especially as he becomes the Lord's shepherd. He becomes God's appointed and anointed shepherd of his people. And we find that especially throughout the scriptures, already even in the Old Testament, as he's set apart and prophesied of as the one who would come, the shepherd who would come. Zechariah, we read in chapter 13 that they will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. And yet he's not talking about David, obviously. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and him, Christ himself in Matthew 26 uses this passage and says, "As it is written, he will fall away because in this night I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." You see, God has set apart the Lord Jesus Christ and given him the office of shepherding his people. And so the Lord Jesus Christ himself is this shepherd. Ezekiel brings the same thing out in Ezekiel 34, verse 23, maybe even more clear. "I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, says the Lord. He is my servant David." And we all know that David was long dead by the time Ezekiel came. But he's talking not about David. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd that God would give for his people, the good shepherd. Jesus himself talks about himself being the good shepherd in John 10, verse 11. He is that good shepherd. And the good shepherd, he lays down his life for his sheep. And even though the good shepherd, he is the one who is also referred to as the Lamb of God, and who goes silent before the shears to save his sheep, to become the good shepherd of his sheep. He is a shepherd-lamb relationship. And so he brings the two together, and he shows the love of God for his people as he gives himself as a lamb even to the slaughter. He is the good shepherd. The scriptures talk about him not only as a good shepherd who gives his life and who is slain for our sins, but he's also the great shepherd. The great shepherd. I think of Hebrews 13 here. Many times I use it for a benediction. The God of peace who brought up again our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. The great shepherd of the sheep. You see, not only did he suffer and he die, even as we find in Psalm 22, but he was raised again, and he ascended on high to be our great shepherd, as we find in Psalm 24. He is the great shepherd who stands victoriously over sin, over Satan, over the grave, and over death. You see, it is here that he becomes our chief shepherd, isn't it? As we find in 1 Peter 5, verse 4, Peter describes him as the chief shepherd. You notice David and Peter have something in common here. David, a shepherd boy, taken from the flocks to become the shepherd of Israel. Peter, one who denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus comes alongside him and says, Peter, do you really love me? And Peter says, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus says to him, well then, feed my sheep. He calls him and gives him the office of being a shepherd. But Peter doesn't say, here I am, the shepherd who is anointed and given a mandate by the Lord Jesus Christ to be a shepherd. No, he doesn't say that. He says, he is the chief shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. And when this chief shepherd, he appears, and he will give a crown of glory to all of those under-shepherds who lead faithfully, even as elders, as Peter's referring to in 1 Peter 5. Even though he was commissioned to feed his sheep and to feed his lambs, he knew, just as David knew, the Lord is my shepherd. Because ultimately, isn't the Lord Jesus Christ not only a good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd? He's a royal shepherd. He's a kingly shepherd. We find that especially in Revelation, don't we? In Revelation 7, verse 17, the Lamb is in the midst of the throne, and he will shepherd them and lead them to the fountain of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eye. Dear congregation, the under-shepherds of the Lord Jesus Christ can wipe a tear or two from your eye, but there will be more tears, and they can never take pain away and difficulty away. But our great shepherd, our royal shepherd, will take all of his sheep into his habitation, in his kingly glory, where there will be no more tears, there will be no more pain, there will be no more difficulties, no more loss, no more death, no more tears to ever shed. He is a royal shepherd. David says, I can't even stand in comparison to the great shepherd. And so the Lord is my shepherd. Is he your shepherd? Is he my shepherd? Sounds great, doesn't it? The Lord is my shepherd. Well, if we confess that the Lord is our shepherd, then we also confess that we are his sheep. We are his sheep. Are you ready to confess that? It becomes a little more difficult, doesn't it? Especially if you know anything about sheep. What are sheep? And how are they a picture of us? Well, there's a little book. I don't know if it's in the library. I forgot to check, but it's by Philip Keller. And it's called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. And there a shepherd has insight as a minister too into Psalm 23. And I believe pulls out some beautiful pictures and analogies of this throughout the psalm. And we certainly can't look at them all today in this sermon, but we'll have a series of sermons here on Psalm 23 in which we'll see the sheep. We'll see who they are under the shepherd's care. But first of all, we need to recognize as we confess, the Lord is my shepherd, that means we have to also confess we are sheep, and sheep are unique characters. They have special natures and qualities and characteristics that many other animals don't have. And the first one is this, that they are the most dependent of all creatures. Left alone, sheep would find their own ruin in a hurry. They are totally dependent upon the shepherd. Without the shepherd, the sheep would be scattered. They can do nothing in themselves. But isn't that a glorious picture also of the sheep? Well, not such a glorious picture, actually, but it's a true picture of the sheep. The sheep, we look at ourselves, and we recognize that we cannot do anything without our Lord Jesus Christ. But the glory is that through Christ we can do all things through our shepherd. But we need to come under dependence and care of the great shepherd in order to do so. We need to acknowledge without the Lord Jesus Christ, we can do nothing, even as he says. We need to recognize, first of all, our dependence upon the shepherd. Secondly, a sheep is one of those animals that are prone to wander. They're a foolish animal. They will wander into all of the wrong places. They will leave the rich pastures of the green pastures that have nourished them, and they will go to places of desert and gnaw on wood and branches. They go astray and find all kinds of pit holes, and they get too far into the stream, and they tip over, and they bloat, and they go and get into all kinds of trouble. And no wonder the shepherd has to take such care of these foolish animals. But isn't that the way the Bible describes us? All we like sheep have gone astray, we find in Isaiah 53, verse 6. And we must confess, Lord, all that I'm going to do is be a wandering sheep, prone to wander, Lord. You know it. I am a backsliding sheep, and you know it, O Lord. And that's why I need to confess, the Lord is my shepherd, because I am a foolish beast, as Asaph says. Lord, you are my shepherd. And that means we need to have our wills broken, just as a sheep needs his will broken. Because sheep, they are creatures with a stubborn will. And so also, those who are outside of Christ need to have their wills broken. They need to be instructed, led, and broken, as it were, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ as their shepherd. Is he your shepherd? You confess, I am his sheep. He is my shepherd. Not because you've chosen to follow him, but because he's purchased you with his blood. He's paid the price. He was forsaken so that you, as sheep who are wandering and straying in sin, stubborn in yourselves, could be redeemed and purchased through his blood. He who was led as a lamb to the slaughter, to become the good shepherd, to come to pay the price, to purchase you, his sheep. Do you confess, he is my shepherd, I am his sheep, because I am redeemed, I am purchased through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Then what a blessing that is. And what glory and joy that brings the shepherd when we truly confess, the Lord is my shepherd. In the times of David, most of the shepherds were very poor people. And to purchase their lambs and their sheep would have been a significant event in their life. And as they would do so, they would shell out the money, and there they would look over their flock, and they would analyze them, and they would care for them, because they gave everything for their flock. And that's all the money that they had. This was their livelihood. And so they would know them. But the day they purchased them, they surrendered all of their living to purchase this flock. Well, how much greater then our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for his sheep, who had his sheep bound upon his soul, as he pours out his sweat, as it were, in Gethsemane. Where he's praying, Lord, if it be possible, take this cup from me. Not my will, but your will be done. As he becomes a sheep led to the slaughter, his will renounced, but goes steadfastly toward Jerusalem and toward the cross, even to Golgotha, where he would be forsaken by his own father and cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? To purchase his sheep. Oh, there in that purchase of his sheep, what joy is set before him as he gathers his sheep into his arms and we confess, the Lord is my shepherd. Who of us would dare to not confess, the Lord is my shepherd? And to say, I want nothing to do with those nail-pierced shepherding hands surrounding me in his love. The Lord is my shepherd, my redeeming shepherd. He purchased me to be his flock. And he owns me as his flock. The next most precious thing, other than shelling out all of your money for the sheep and looking them all over good, for a shepherd would be to identify them. Philip Keller, who was a shepherd in these days, he said... He wrote this. He said, the purchase of the sheep is a beautiful day. And Philip Keller says, he talks about that first day he bought these 30 ewes. And him and his neighbor, they were sitting on the dusty corral rails and they're admiring the sheep. And his neighbor turns to Philip and he hands him a knife, a large knife. And he says to Philip, well, Philip, they're yours. And now you'll have to go put your mark on them. It wasn't a pleasant procedure, but it was a procedure that brought into union the purchaser and those who were owned as the flock, the shepherd and the sheep. And they became one. They became united. And so also in the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it true? When he takes his sheep, doesn't he often earmark us that we would bear the wounds of the cross? In this life, we can go through afflictions and difficulties. And then this psalm becomes so precious because we say, the Lord is my shepherd. And there he's marked my ear through this cut, this affliction, and that wound, as I bear my cross to the glory of my Savior, my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He owns me. He marks me. He identifies me. He makes me his own. And the shepherd and the sheep, they belong together. The flock doesn't belong to another shepherd. And the sheep, they are his, and he is ours. Isn't that beautiful? Many times we look at a picture, don't we? And that picture might have a real attraction to us. Let's just say it was a picture of our wife. As a husband, you look at that picture, you say, that is my wife. No other man can say that. You look at a picture of your children, and you say, those are my children that God has given me. No other parent can say that. I had the privilege in this past week of looking face to face into the face of a grandchild. That is my grandchild. And only other one set of grandparents can say that. See, there's an identity. There's a union. There's something that brings together. And David says here, the Lord is my shepherd. His sheep can say that. And the shepherd looks at his sheep. He says, these are my sheep. You see the beauty of this confession? The Lord is my shepherd. And that begs the question, dear congregation. That begs the question to each one of us today. Do you and do I belong to this shepherd? Do we belong to Him? Are we identified in Him? Is He mine? Is the Lord Jesus Christ the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, the royal shepherd? Is He mine and am I His? We can talk about it and we can know all about it. But only those who truly know this shepherd can say that. Because they look and they see the marks of our Lord Jesus Christ even in their life. And they see Him as everything that they need for this time and for eternity. Because they belong to Him. They recognize that He has a right to me, to my whole life. And we recognize, don't we, as we respond to His authority and acknowledge His ownership, that we have purpose and commitment to the Lord our God, and we find all of our help, all of our rest, all of our commitment, contentment in the Lord Jesus Christ. There I have true freedom in this shepherd-sheep relationship. Dear congregation, we began several weeks ago with Psalm 1. In Psalm 1, what did we recognize? Blessed is the man. Happy is the man. The man who can confess, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Because that is the person who can say, He is all of this for me, and I desire to live for Him. As we go through this psalm will lead us into glorious pastures. This psalm will lead us into glorious righteousness. It will lead us, yes, through the valley of the shadow of death. And it will lead us to the house that He's prepared for us forever. But one thing will always remain the same. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord from Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now may the God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Grace be with you all. Amen.